Final hour of the program here. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle with you until 10 o'clock each and every weeknight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you haven't voted on our poll today, please do. It is at CT Tonight 929. That is the show page where you can find all of the Twitter polls, the podcast page. Everything you need for this show is at that account. So if you aren't following it, please do so. That is at CT Tonight 929. And the poll is as follows. Some Vegas outlets have Michael Penix Jr. at just 18.5 touchdowns over under on the season. He will throw blank than that. Many more, slightly more. 18-19 is right, or less than that. Go vote on the poll, getting plenty of votes already. But if you believe Penix is the guy, go say so on the poll at CT Tonight 929. Now, Oren, before I let the audience hear some more from our guys, Bijan Robinson, Chris Lindstrom, that spoke at Falcons camp today, I mentioned that I did something today that I had never done before, and after doing so, I can't believe I've never done it before.
Go on.
So the girlfriend and I were hanging out today. She came over. And
school starting up very soon.
Too. Yeah, so this is actually her last week of summer, which is to me is insane because Oren, I don't know when did you usually go back when you were in elementary and middle school.
So ours was usually around the end of August.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend for me. It was the Monday after Labor Day every year
around
in
that
New
time.
Yeah, that's when I went back. It's July, like 22nd today. Mm-hmm. And she's going back in less than a week.
And the kids will be here, what, the first week of August?
Unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. But anyway, so we were hanging out, and then her friend was doing some substitute teaching in the area by where I live. So she said, let's go meet her for lunch. I was like, cool, let's do it. On the way to said lunch, we passed a Krispy Kreme donut restaurant. And she made note of it. She's like, oh, there's a Krispy Kreme over here. And I said to her, you know, I've never had a Krispy Kreme donut before.
Never.
And she said, what? And I said, yeah. I was like, you know, I've never had one. It just has skipped my plate for all 33 years of my existence. She's like, well, we'll have to change that sometime soon. I was like, yeah. Thinking nothing of it, we go, we have a very nice lunch, grabbed a slice of pizza, and had a good time with her friend. We're driving back to my apartment, we're lining up to pass the Krispy Kreme, and she says, you know what, Fast and the Furious style, blanket,
just
we're getting you a Krispy Kreme donut right now.
Just do it.
I was like, whoa, I was like, hard swerve, okay. And so we go through the drive-thru. We get the donuts. She gets six of them. And it came in this cute little DC packaging. I guess they're doing a partnership with the new Superman movie that's out. So that was cool. And we go back to my apartment, and she's like, you need to let me do this right. I said, okay. So she puts it in the microwave for 30 seconds.
Got to get it warm.
Yeah. Hands it to me. I take a bite. That delicious, powdery goodness is sending me on a magic carpet ride, Oren. I can't believe I went 33 years without having a Krispy Kreme donut, and that is the food that I tried today for the first time, and it was amazing.
So Andy and Randy, a couple of days ago, were talking about Krispy Kremes, and not maybe on the same page as you are in terms of the eagerness to go out and get one. But that being said, like, I remember my teens, like, dude, a dozen Krispy Kreme, they used to sell a dozen, like, every day of the week, or excuse me, one day every week, like a Wednesday. There was an organization that would sell a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. It was the best thing. It was the best thing. You go get a dozen of them. And then we had one Krispy Kreme that wasn't too far away from the school. So you happen to drive by at the right time and you saw that hot sign on, you pulled in, and you got your 12 hot.
It was It was amazing. And now I want to go back because they have like a birthday cake flavored one and a Boston cream, which I love.
That's what's weird to me now, though. It's how Krispy Kreme has sort of stepped away from the traditional just glaze donut that they've done for so many years. And they're doing flavors. Like that's the, like, I'm not knocking it. It's just weird to me because I just grew up on the one, like, Krispy Kreme just being known for the hot glaze or the glazed.
Well, yeah, and that's obviously what I had for my first time there. I wasn't going birthday cake flavored Krispy Kreme donut for my first ever Krispy Kreme donut.
That's a good idea.
So I'm sure it's great, but I'm going to have to wait till the next time to try it. So hit me up on Twitter, at CTTonight929. What is the food or dessert item that, for whatever reason, you just took forever to try? Not because you didn't think you were going to like it. It just never hit your plate for whatever reason. For me, today I found out it was a Krispy Kreme donut. Now I absolutely love it. And Oren, the dangerous part is there's one 5 minutes away from my apartment.
Whoa.
Yeah. As if I need any more reasons to get fast food.
Well, here's the thing. If you run down into it and run back, that kind of...
Yeah.
It's like a halfway burn the energy to kind of go.
And I was able to resist myself. I only had one. And she took the other four back home to her family. So I did a good job, right? I mean, because I could have easily. I mean, that six-pack between the two of us could have been in about a New York minute. Like, that thing could have been. Because they're not big. Oren, you could eat one in, if you really wanted to, two bites.
It's very, very... I get gigantic hands, so...
Yeah, you could probably Joey Chestnut that thing and just...
That thing is just sort of at the right angle.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm not going to lie. That was really, really good. Again, hit me up at CTTonight929. What is the food or dessert item that you just happened to discover later on in life? Again, not because you didn't think you'd like it, but it just never appeared on your plate for whatever reason. Or 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved as well. At CTTonight929, what is the food or dessert item that just happened to skip your plate? All right, let's hear a little bit from Bijan Robinson. He spoke today to the assembled media. The first thing he talked about, this is funny, a story about Caleb McGarry, which is important because he's the new blindside protector, in a Saints game, absolutely eating somebody's lunch.
Okay, so we were playing the Saints, and this was last year, yeah. And we were running outside zone, and Caleb just throws one of their linebackers, just threw him, like, out the tape. But when he threw him, like, sometimes, like, I'm so locked in on the run. But this one time he threw him, I actually looked at the guy like, what the heck? I was running, and then he threw him. I was like, oh. And then I kept running real quick. Uh-huh. And then you can just hear the guy, like, when he hits the ground, like, when he hit the ground, like, all his air just came out. And then he got up. He was like, hey, big mo, like, he's like, don't you ever throw me like that again. And Caleb was like, don't get in my way. It was the coolest thing ever, man. But I mean, having a guy like that that you can run behind is, I mean, it's always like you just smile because, you know, when Caleb's going, man, and he's on, like, he's scary to get in front of, and nobody likes being blocked by him. And then he'll like growl at you, like, you know, he'll like growl at you. So it's probably not
okay. But Oren, here's the thing: we all know that about Caleb McGarry going forward. Can he pass protect for a lefty quarterback? That's going to be the question moving forward. But still a great story for Bijan. He also said, quite frankly, this is refreshing to hear, that no time to waste. We need to make the playoffs.
Like I say, like, I try not to look, you know, that far down the line. But obviously, like, that's the goal for this team. You know, I know everybody says, like, win the division, which is, these are obvious goals that we want to do. But for us, like, it's more so if we just handle every single game the same and prepare the same for every single game at a high level, then we're going to reach all of our goals and we're going to get to everywhere we want to get to. And, you know, obviously everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. Like, that's everybody's saying that they're good now. Like, everybody's like, we have the best team now. But for us, it's like, you know, we got to put it to action. Like, we got to actually do it. you know, all the talk is like no more talk. Like talk doesn't help anything. So for us, like for if we just actually just put our heads down and just work hard, we have the pieces, you know, that we need for a great successful team. But now it's time to come together and so we can do it that far down the line.
Yeah. I hope so, right? I mean, that's the goal. What's the standard? What did we talk about on Monday, Falcons fans? What is the standard for you for this team? For me, it's 10 wins, plain and simple. One more from Bijan. He was talking about his own personal growth and development.
My goals every year like are higher than the ones that I set the year before. So I always want to double or kind of just be way better than the year before. Like in college, I set like – my sophomore year, I set like a goal like 1,500 yards. My sophomore year, then my junior year, like 1,800 or 1,900, and like just accomplishing like that. So I'm always trying to set something extreme, but that's just who I am, and that's just how I work. So I can try to become, so I can try to set that goal in the season.
Yeah, and he's a top, you know, whatever, 3-4 running back in the league right now, and could be even higher than that before season's end. How about Chris Lindstrom? He was talking a lot today, and he was asked about Michael Penix Jr. and when he found confidence in QB1.
I think after the first game. I think the first game playing together, that you go in there and, you know, practice is one thing, but when you go out there and you have real reps, it's another thing. And so we were able to do that. He just poured confidence into us and his operation and belief. And then we get here this spring, and it's like we didn't even skip a beat from the end of last season. So I think that's the biggest thing, and it's only going to increase with reps. I think everything in the NFL is the more repetitions you can do together, the better it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be obviously one of the main goals of camp here is to get him and the entire offense in sync as quickly as possible. One more from Lindstrom before we get a break. Penix's even-keeled nature, how did that play in the biggest game of the season last year in Washington?
A lot. I think it really showed, you know, obviously the game didn't go our way in Washington, but there was a lot of big moments there and good things to learn upon where, you know, that's about as stressful as an environment, a real kind of as close to a playoff atmosphere as it can be. And, you know, you hit different adversity bumps along the way, and we were just able to give ourselves a chance in that game.
And we'll hope that Michael Penix Jr. has a lot more chances this season to replicate that. All right, when we get back, Mark Raimondi of ESPN is going to join the show and talk about all things you need to know for Falcons training camp, which begins tomorrow. And we have you covered pillar to post right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning Shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, and then Dukes and Bell at the Taj. Mahooters will be taking you all day long. And then anything you missed, I'll be doing some duty at night, my usual shift, 6 to 10, and I'll replay any interviews we had on the station. Let me preview this. Couple of big ones tomorrow that you're not going to want to miss. Mark Raimondi joins us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Chris Thomas tonight. We made it. Training camp is here. It's Christmas Eve on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our next guest on the WadeFord.com hotline is currently in the middle of packing his bucket hat, sunscreen, comfortable athletic shoes, dry fit clothing, and his notepad, all things necessary to be standing on the bright, hot, sunny practice field that is at Flowery Branch for the Atlanta Falcons. Mark Raimondi of ESPN joins me now. Mark, before we get into the Falcons content, are you ready for Falcons training camp?
Oh, I was born ready, Chris. It is here. Football is back. Got a chance to be out there today for arrivals, and tomorrow the practice starts, and we're ready and raring to go. Season 2025.
Yes. All right. Couple of things to note before practices get underway. What's the latest you know about availability for Caleb McGarry and Kyle Pitts?
Well, they are on my list of requests for tomorrow. I've been told that there are no expected holdouts and no big surprises as far as who is and is not practicing. So I do expect to be talking to both of those gentlemen in just a few hours here. So that's good news for Falcons fans who maybe were worried about them.
Yeah, and obviously the offensive line is going to get a lot of looks from a lot of eyeballs to make sure that everything looks the way it needs to with McGarry protecting the blind side. And what's your take on Neusel? Do you feel like it's going to be a seamless transition from Dahlman?
Look, I mean, I think that it wasn't a huge drop-off from Drew Dahlman when he was out last year and Neusel took over. And Neusel was able to get quite a few reps in OTAs, training camp, and during the season in practice last year with Michael Penix Jr. because he was the second-team center and Penix was the second-team quarterback. So those guys got to know each other quite well. And they're both lefties, by the way, which is kind of interesting, right? A lefty center and a lefty quarterback, it's very rare in the NFL. I don't know if there's another combination like that in the NFL right now, but I don't think they're very worried about Neusel, but I do agree with you, Chris, that the offensive line is one of the big stories of the early season with Neusel in for Dahlman and McGarry having to cover the blind side for a left-handed quarterback for the first time in his career.
You feel like Raheem Morris is going to preach accountability for what happened last year? Do you feel like that's even going to be discussed? What do you think the messaging is going to be from the head coach this season? Wipe it out as a new slate. You got to cover him week in, week out last year. What do you think his messaging is going to be to open up camp?
I think it's going to be a lot of, look, we know how good the offense has a chance to be. And if the offense is good or even, you know, 75% as good as they think it's going to be, they're going to be at least in a lot of games. It's going to be up to the defense to stop teams when it counts, get off the field, which is something, Chris, as you know, they struggled with so much last year. Some of the time of possession figures, stats, especially in the early part of the season, were actually pretty wild to look at, right? Because they just could not get off the field. And that was a big issue. And then, you know, you can't get off the field in the first half, and then the defense is drained in the second half, can't make the big stops when it's necessary. And that even happened against Washington in that game, you know, up there, where Thugs were in that game, and the playoffs were very much still up in the air, and there was a chance, and the defense could not get off the field. And I think, you know, bringing in Jeff Ulbrich and making some of the changes they did on that side of the ball is going to be a big deal. So I think Raheem Morris is a guy that he's very much a player's coach. I know that's kind of a trite term nowadays in the NFL. I don't know if it has as much meaning as it used to, but he's a guy that definitely defers. And I shouldn't say defers, but he's a guy that, you know, he builds a relationship with players, and he's not a disciplinarian, but he's a guy that trusts his players, and they know that he trusts them, and it's up to them to act and play accordingly.
How much of the following players do you expect to see getting run with the first team right away? Ruka Rororo, Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman.
That's a really, really good question. And I think my short answer is I don't think any of them right now. I don't think any of those names at this moment will be getting run with the first team. I could be dead wrong there, but I think that they're going to start. Look, if last year was any indication with Raheem Morris, is you have to prove it if you're a young player. And look at Ruka Rororo. I mean, he was hurt a little bit, but he also was inactive for a wide stretch of time. So was Brandon Dorlus. And it was a matter of he has to go out and prove it. And the guys that were ahead of him, the veterans, the Tyquan Grahams and the David Onyemata's, and last year was Eddie Goldman. Some of those guys are still on the team. And I do think we're probably going to see Onyemata, Graham, Contavious Street, guys like that kind of getting those interior D-line reps with the first team, at least right away. But it's going to be rotation. I think Rook will be getting, you know, when the season begins, I do believe he will be getting snaps. He will be getting reps on the interior of the line. I just don't know if he's necessarily going to be starting the games until he really, really shows it in practice.
Talking all things Falcons with our good buddy Mark Raimondi. Make sure you check out all his work throughout training camp on ESPN.
And I would add, yeah, Chris, kind of the same thing with, you know, there are veterans like Jordan Fuller at safety who I think will probably at least get the look first, and Xavier Watts will have to prove it. And I think D. Offord, same thing, nickel corner, he will be the guy, you know, in the immediate, and Billy Bowman will have to prove it. So it's going to be incumbent upon those young players to actually go out there and practice starting tomorrow and proving it.
With Kirk Cousins speaking at the beginning of off-season work a couple of weeks ago, do you think the Falcons will use that to say, hey, listen, he spoke. He said his piece. He's now the backup quarterback. Backup quarterbacks don't necessarily hit the microphone all that much. Or do you believe we'll hear from him again?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we will hear from Kirk Cousins at some point. We're going to request him. I'm sure people are going to want to know what he has to say. He did make news a couple weeks ago with that quarterback series on Netflix. So there are things to ask him. Certainly he's not going to be a regular every week guy like he was last year. But I do think that he's still a fascinating guy to me because he's in kind of a weird spot. He's toward the end of his career, and you know that he wants to be a starter somewhere else. What that ends up looking like, if it looks like anything other than him being, you know, the reserve quarterback for the Falcons this year, I don't know. But it's another interesting kind of like side storyline. And what's kind of weird, Chris, is that, you know, he's still one of the most talked about guys on the roster, and he may not play a snap. And in fact, I would argue that the Falcons would be very happy if Kirk Cousins did not play a snap in 2025.
Yeah, well, that means the ideal scenario, obviously, of Penix becoming the potential star we all
correct.
Think.
And being healthy.
Right, and being healthy that he can be is coming to fruition. A bit of an interesting question here, but I've been asking everybody from Falcons-related media I've been having on this week as we preview training camp with Mark Raimondi. Do you think the Falcons are going to go out of their way? I can't think of a better word to say than showcase, but feature or magnify Kyle Pitts a little bit just to show and satisfy the hunger from the fans and from the media to see if this thing has the potential to look like what we all think and hope that it could? Or do you think it's going to be ho-hum, he's going to play his role, and it's going to look as such in camp?
I think that he will be a factor as much as he wants to be a factor and as well as he plays to be a factor. I think that's kind of the key there. You know, he's had now another year or at least 1 year under his belt with Zach Robinson's offense. He did admit last year that he struggled initially with the 11 personnel, which he was not used to playing previously, right? He played mostly 12 under Arthur Smith. And it's a contract year, man. It's like, this is it. This is the pivotal year for Kyle Pitts. If he wants a big contract, he is going to come out and have a big season. And if he doesn't do that, then he's probably not going to get a big contract. Certainly not one that you would normally give a second contract to a guy that was drafted number four overall, right, in the draft. So he remains probably the guy that I'm asked about the most in these interviews and just by people on the street and on social media. It's always Kyle Pitts. And the answer to me and from me usually, Chris, is we just don't know. You know, we just don't know. We've seen Kyle Pitts play incredibly well as a rookie, you know, record-breaking season, but we've also seen him kind of be a non-factor in games since then. So which Kyle Pitts shows up, we're going to find out in a few weeks, and maybe even sooner.
So what did you make of them not bringing in somebody who would be an obvious backup? Because Charlie Warner's not an obvious, he's not a, you know, pass-catching tight end. That's just not what he is.
Right, yeah, he's a blocking tight end. I mean, look, they brought back, you know, Felipe Franks, of course, and there are a few guys who are little-known guys that are solid players at tight end, including a guy that I've been pretty impressed with, actually, during the spring, Joshua Simon from the University of South Carolina. He was an undrafted free agent. He's a pretty good player. And he was catching some nice passes during OTAs and minicamp. So I don't know if he'll make the team. He'll probably end up being a practice squad guy. But that is a very good point. If they were not confident in Kyle Pitts as a guy that's going to be a major player in the offense as far as catching passes and making plays, they probably would have gotten someone else. They probably would have gotten a pass catching guy as a third string or a second string guy. We know Charlie Warner is a really, really solid blocking tight end, as you mentioned. So that's a very good point. And I do think that they have confidence in Kyle Pitts. I think that they believe, and we saw flashes of it last year at Penix throwing to Kyle Pitts, even in some cases where Kyle Pitts did not make the catch and it ended up being an interception. Penix was confident in him. He was feeding him the ball in big spots. That Washington game, that 4th-and-13 was a pretty incredible pass and catch by Kyle Pitts. So, you know, we'll see how that Penix to Pitts connection develops over the, you know, next few weeks and into the season.
How quickly do you think they get the kicking situation out of the way?
as far as Young Wei Koo and Lenny Creed.
Yep.
Look, I feel like Koo will be the kicker when week one is here in a few weeks. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. We'll see now, I think, pretty quickly if it was the injury to Koo or if it was something else that was bothering him last year. And if it was something else, then they have, you know, they have Lenny Creed there. But he's incredibly unproven. So it's a big question mark. I think that Koo's consistency over the years has kind of spoken for itself, but sometimes in kickers, you just lose it. You know, you fall off a table and you never get it back again for whatever reason. It's a very, like, it's almost like a closer in baseball, that role, right? You know, sometimes you have it, and you have it for a long time, and then all of a sudden, one day, you don't have it anymore. And I don't think anyone hopes that happens, that's going on with Koo, but you can't completely rule that out.
Yeah, just ask Raisel Iglesias right here in town with the Braves, Mark. He'll tell you all about falling off a cliff.
Wasn't trying to mention any names, but, you know.
All right, my friend. We'll see you out there. We'll bring our sweat towels and our sunscreen. We'll meet you out on the practice field, Mark. Looking forward to it.
I better type that sunscreen. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, you got it. All right, that is our good buddy there, Mark Raimondi. Again, if you want coverage of training camp, you're in the right place. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game is your home for Atlanta Falcons training camp coverage. You can catch, well, every single show out there starting tomorrow. The Morning Shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell. And then I will have my night show, and I will recap. I will replay, re-examine, reevaluate everything that happened during the day. You will hear sound. You will hear interviews. We will get you covered pillar to post on all things Falcons training camp. Speaking of which, it was welcome back day today. Oren, do you like those little, like, things that they do now? It was like a cool, nerdy thing to do at first, but now every team does it. So it's kind of lame. They have those, like, chalkboard things.
Yeah, first day of school.
Yeah, my name is Bijan Robinson. I'm in year three. My favorite snack is oranges. Like, to me, now that's become played.
Here's the thing. As much as I want to say it's played, like, I look forward to the day when I can see my own kid do that, or I can look forward to my kid doing that. So there's a soft place in my heart for it, but maybe not to the extent of doing it with the NFL players anymore.
My name is Franklin. I am 22. I'm 6'8". I'm 312 pounds. I play left guard for the Atlanta Falcons.
He's going to be a big 22-year-old kid, I tell you that much.
Yeah. I allowed zero sacks and zero pressures last year.
Get that all pro money, Franklin.
They are calling me the second coming of Chris Lindstrom. And my favorite snack is oranges. 404-726-0922.
Oranges.
Oranges are great, man. Fruit's the most underrated snack out there. You know what? You know what I love too. Let me just real quick. You know what really grinds my gears, Oren? When people come out there and say, "Oh, you shouldn't eat fruit because it has sugar in it." It's fruit.
You shouldn't eat sugar because it has sugar.
Yeah,
in it.
It's fruit.
Fruit is not a horrible thing you can eat.
If the biggest problem of your diet is that it has fruit in it, you're doing pretty well. How about don't eat chips? Don't eat pizza. Don't eat burgers. Don't drink milkshakes. Don't eat or drink regular soda. How about that instead of don't eat fruit? Really? Yeah, blueberries and cantaloupe is the reason I'm 40 pounds overweight.
There it is.
That's, you know what? We really dug down to the heart of the issue.
Chugging those blueberries.
Yeah, just can't put down the damn cantaloupe, and it's really just my waistline. We'll see.
Not forgive you, buddy.
It'll never recover from all the cantaloupe and honeydew that I've been sucking down lately. All that watermelon and fresh berries I eat in the summertime has just done me dirty. Get out of here. 404-726-0929. We'll come back. We'll let you hear more from Chris Lindstrom, and we'll let you hear from Micah Parsons as he responded to jury, saying, "We're going to do things on my terms because I'm 84. All that to close up shop. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Yeah, last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till the top of the hour. Or in the crashing of the drums and the slamming of the guitar for this track is how I felt about the Michael Penix Jr. slander that we've been experiencing today.
Oh, wow.
18 and a half touchdowns, man. If you haven't voted on the poll, about this time last night, Oren brought it to my attention that there was an outlet in Vegas that dropped Michael Penix Jr.'s season touchdown total from 19 and a half to 18
and a half.
Just
to start at 19 and a half is an insult.
And I was upset when he told me that. But the more I slept on this, the more it just plays into the whole damn 7.5 win total narrative and 18 and a half touchdowns. Come on, man. That would be insane if his touchdown total was that low. Again, I said at the beginning of the show, that means one of two things has happened. You either have the best running game in the history of the NFL and he throws 15 times a game, or something goes horribly wrong. And it is way more likely to be the latter than the former. So go vote on the poll at CT Tonight 929. Some Vegas outlets have Michael Penix Jr.'s touchdown total at just 18 and a half for the season. He will throw blank than that. Many more, slightly more. 18 to 19 seems right, or less than that. Go vote at CT Tonight 929. That is also where you'll find the brand new show page. Again, I appreciate everybody who's followed it so far. We are tracking really well on this page. We are damn near close to having exactly a 1-to-1 ratio of followers to following, which is really good, especially for a brand new page. I'm really proud of that, and I can't thank each and every one of you who listen for giving the new show page a follow at CT Tonight 929. Let's hear some more from Chris Lindstrom. Before we get out of here, we heard him talk about Penix and his faith in him. He was also talking about what it's going to be like to work out the pass protection for a lefty QB.
Yeah, and fortunately, you know, we were able to get reps with Mike, and so I think the biggest thing as an offensive lineman is understanding the depth of the pocket and kind of where he's going to be, and so that only comes with reps. And there's a certain feeling you have, you know, if you're getting bull rushed, you know, there's a set of, you know, your brain's going 1,000 miles an hour, but you have a good spatial understanding of where Mike's going to be or what he likes to do. And so we kind of work through that. And then now in this time, continue that going forward.
Yeah. And that's, again, he said it perfectly there. The more time under pressure that they get to work through those things, the better off that they're going to be. So hopefully they get some good competition in camp. And then by the time week one rolls around, they're ready to go. He was also talking about he is confident in his running mate, Caleb McGarry, to take on the task for a full season of being the blindside protector for Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, man, it's, Caleb's done a phenomenal job, and, you know, now 7 years together, and so we've been able to grow with one another, and he does a great job. I think he's a physical tone setter in the run game, that he does things that are unfathomable in the NFL to see what he can do to people. In the past is just communication and doing a great job working with each other. And I think, you know, now heading into 7 years with each other, we have a great understanding. And so kind of working out that timing and detail so we can be at our best as a right side for Mike.
And we'll see if they can do it. Obviously, the main criticism against McGarry his entire career has been his great moving forward, not so good moving backwards. He's going to have to improve upon that. I think he was fine in the three games last season. I just don't know because the sample size isn't there. So I don't want to preach false positivity because we haven't seen it yet. And I don't know how, you know, are you going to be convinced after week one? No, it's going to take a couple of games to have you feel 100% comfortable that McGarry can be the guy there, not just this year, but long term. This is interesting as well. Chris Lindstrom is the rep for the PA for the Falcons. And we know what's going on between J.C. Treader and Lloyd Howell stepping down.
Did you read the article from Don Van Natta today at ESPN?
I did.
Just detailing the behind-the-scenes stuff. There was one part. Oh, my gosh. Lloyd Howell.
What did he do?
So when he became the NFLPA, the president of the NFLPA, the parking spot he used, it had numbers. And he asked that the numbers on the two spots be erased and turned into one spot. So it said 10 and 11. That's how they were numbered. He said, I want you to take those numbers off, and I want to make one spot, and I want to name that spot 32 in honor of O.J. Simpson.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's the kind of dude this dude was.
That's just fun.
He wanted to honor O.J. Simpson.
That sounds like a Key and Peele sketch or something like that. I mean, you can't make, like, pick a worse name. Aaron Hernandez. Like, that's like saying, I would like it named after Aaron Hernandez. Can I get 88 or whatever his number was? I mean, my goodness. No wonder he was fired. I mean, okay, well, that makes sense. Everything tracks. Check, check, check. Chris Lindstrom was talking about we have to be focused on our process to reach the playoffs and beyond, and then I'll let you hear what he said about the NFLPA.
Yeah, I think one of the things I've learned is just that it's the process that you have to, and you can't skip steps. And at least in my time here, we haven't achieved our goal of making the playoffs. So, you know, to be honest, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that, you know, feels like to be there. But what I do know is that have the right processes. We have buy-in from guys, and we know what things are important. And we have belief in the staff and belief in one another. And I think that's the foundation that we'll build upon.
Isn't that absolutely insane? He's never made the playoffs.
There are a lot of Falcons right now on this football team who have never been in the playoffs.
He's never made the playoffs. That's absolute insanity. All right, here's the cut talking about the NFLPA issues and what's going on there.
I think there's a lot of great initiatives that, and I think some of the best things that we do as a union are player-led, and I think a lot of those things have been really successful in the last couple of years. And I think the direction and the buy-in from the locker room was at an all-time high, and I think it's our job to continue that going forward. And I know this is a speed bump right now, but I don't think it's going to stop us to continue to work together as players for, you know, betterment for ourselves.
I mean, we'll see. This entire thing is just a gigantic mess, as we've been detailing for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, before we get out of here, a couple of things from Micah Parsons. This soap opera from the NFL between the Cowboys and the Bengals and everything else that's going on, it just keeps feeding the machine. Micah Parsons was asked straight up, do you think the Cowboys want to make a deal with you? His response is worth its weight in gold. But we'll hear that. We'll hear a couple other things.
Then, you know, there's the same way that Jay Jones and Stephen Jones and other Jerry Jones take care of their family, it's the same way I need to take care of my family. You know, I mean, I got my own three kids of my own, so we all need to take care of our own family at the end of the day.
Yeah. The problem is Jerry Jones is not doing you any favors, pal. He's coming out in the media and sounding like a rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, senile-ish old man. And that's a real unfortunate situation. Micah was also asked on the lack of movement in his contract talks.
Micah, how would you characterize how close you are to getting something done?
I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll just see how long things take, you know? That's it.
Thank you, man. Discouraged by the fact that it's taken this long?
Honestly, yeah. When you go around the league and you see these other teams taking care of their best guys, I see TJ got taken care of. Max got taken care of. Miles got taken care of. And he got 2 years left on his deal. So it's hard to, yeah, you see a lot of people around the league taken care of. You just, you know, wish you had something like, you know, that same type of energy. You know,
it's hard to not take it personally.
I wouldn't say it's hard not to take it personally when you know how there's a, when there's a, you know, chain of events of something consistently happening over the course of years, when you kind of see it before through other players and things. So you don't take that you don't take it personally when you're like, all right, this, it's not like I'm getting treated differently than anyone else, you know? So I don't take it personally. I just don't understand.
Well, I think you answered your own question there, Micah. You are getting treated differently than everyone else because you play for the Cowboys and your owner's Jerry Jones. So you are getting treated differently. He wants to feel like he's the circus leader at all times. So don't you bigfoot me, Micah. I'll pay you on my time and my terms. And that's what he's dealing with right now. One more before we get out of here. He was actually asked directly about the comments from Jerry.
Respect for each other, but stuff gets said in the media. Have you had a conversation with him after yesterday's presser?
No, but I'm going to talk to him. You know, I just thought as a whole, like, you know, everyone's situation is different. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, I'm here for my teammates. You know, I'm not here to please another grown man. I'm here for them. You know, I want to be here with Trey, watch him rehab, watch him go on the field, watch his growth. I want to be here battling with Terrence Steele. Like, I'm here for these guys. I'm not here for him, you know. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's on the field with us. You know, we're on the field playing the games and things like that. So I'm going to just control my teammates, keep boosting it, and, you know, we're just going to keep playing together.
That's going to be an awkward conversation, huh? Hey, Mr. Jones, we're about to start the season. Can I have my money, please? Well, you see, the thing is, I control the finances around these parts, and I decide when it's time for you to make your ends meet, Mr. Parsons, and I just feel like you've been flapping those gums of yours for a minute, and I needed to go in and reinstitutionalize my control over this franchise. My
good fun sir. Word, reinstitutionalize.
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing. He's holding court with a stupid long sleeve shirt on when it's 100 degrees outside.